Well, good morning, everybody. Just a nice little piece of humor to get you going today. There was this sister, her name was Sister Regina Marie. And Sister Regina Marie was, her ministries was, she worked at a home health agency. And so one day she's on her way to visit this person who's bedridden and all this and homebound. Her car runs out of gas. Now, the good news is there was a gas station only one block away. So she goes over to the gas station. She says, "Sir, I'm so sorry. I ran out of gas. I'm just a block away. Do you have a gas can?" He says, "Darn it, we just sold the last one." She says, "Well, let me go see if I have one in the car." She looks back in the car, doesn't have one. But she does have a bedpan. And so she takes, very resourceful nun, so she takes the bedpan over to the gas station and fills it up with gas, carefully walks back, you know, and she's trying to get the gas into the car. There's two onlookers. One's a Protestant, one's an atheist, and the one of them says to the other one, "If this works, I'm turning Catholic." Anyway, okay, folks, so today I was thinking about, first of all, gratitude. Very quickly about gratitude. Super important. Did you hear our Alleluia verse? "In all circumstances, give thanks to God." Usually we're tempted only to give thanks when it goes the way that I want it to go, when everything works out to my plan. And sometimes bad things happen, things that to us seem like they're bad, but are actually for the good. And we're meant to give thanks to God in those things as well. In all circumstances, give thanks. Not just when it's what I want. Because guess what? God sees a bigger picture. And we should be thankful to God that He is arranging things to make the bigger picture work. And so we give thanks in all circumstances. I really wanted to spend most of the time, though, thinking about the rosary, which is one way that we can give thanks. It's the month of our Blessed Mother. And last week was the feast day of the rosary. And it marked the anniversary of a big event that happened in 1571 called the Battle of Lepanto, where there were the Turks who were trying to destroy the Christian faith in Lepanto, and which is not too far from Corinth, you know, the letter of the Corinthians and all that. Okay, so like there was this terrible army coming against these faithful people trying to destroy Christianity and destroy all of them with it. And the people were like, "Well, what in the world are we going to do? Because we're outnumbered 10 to 1. Look at the size of this bloody army that is coming to kill us and to destroy our church, to destroy everything." And then the Holy Spirit planted an idea in their hearts, which was to get on their knees and pray the rosary. And so all of the army in Lepanto got on their knees and they prayed the rosary. And it became known as Our Lady of Victory, because it was on account of her intercession that the very small army at Lepanto was able to defeat this huge army that was much more advanced from that were the Turks. And that's not the first time that the rosary has come in handy like that. In fact, it was first given to Saint Dominic, according to our tradition, many, many centuries ago. And Saint Dominic in his day had a lot of there were heresies that were going all over the place that were trying to deny Christianity. Albigensianism said that the very incarnation was not true, because only spiritual things were good. Nothing material or bodily was any good. And it was this whole big thing, and people were buying into it left and right. Heresies plenty. And Our Lady gave the rosary to St. Dominic and said, "Now you pray, and you get all your other Dominicans to pray." And by God's grace, by Our Lady's intercession, they were, the Albigensianism all but died very quickly, shortly after that. That's not the first thing, though. I mean, back in the earliest centuries of the church, monks and people, all people, used to keep track of prayers on beads, and it was later a development that they were put onto a string. Makes sense that it'd be on a string. a lot of the church fathers talk about how like the rosary is like the slingshot that David used to kill Goliath. And Mother Teresa one time was in the airport and they asked her, they were asking everybody, it was shortly after 9/11, do you have a weapon? Do you have a weapon? And they got up, she got up to airport security. Do you have a weapon, Mother Teresa? She says, yes. And she pulls out her rosary. There's a reason that in the habits of monks and nuns, the rosary is always here on the left. It's always dangling off of their belts on the left. Why? It's because that's where you put your sword. The rosary, friends, is an incredible weapon of love and a weapon of faith and a weapon of peace. And every time we see people using it in the history of our church, in fact, there's a book out there about recent miracles, recent victories, Boko Haram and all these different, like, man, Our Lady through the rosary still gives us victories over the different Goliaths that are in our lives. Yesterday we had a rosary rally here, and there were about 16,000 rosary rallies in the United States yesterday at noon. All of us prayed at noon together the rosary, because Our Lady knows how to intercede. The game of chess is a good visual on this, because the game of chess is very Catholic. First of all, there are rules. You don't get to rewrite the rules if you're not winning. You know, this is how you play. It's a beautiful game. Another piece of chess is like, the king, of course, is the most important player. You lose the king, you lost the game. The queen, though, is the one who can move all around. Having been empowered by the king, can move all around and do anything. And everybody knows who plays chess. If you lose the queen, you pretty much lost the game. You don't have a lot of hope left. The queen can move anywhere. There are bishops in chess, and a good bishop working with the queen can defeat the enemy in 3 moves. It's all the different pieces of the chessboard are kind of like the different vocations, you know? And what happens when you get to the other side if you're a lowly little pawn? You get to the other side and you get to reign with her, with God. Look at, and that's what our second reading is. If we persevere, we shall also reign with him. Here's the thing. Our Lady, the Blessed Mother, rejoices in her mobility, rejoices in the way and the powers that she has been given by Jesus, by God, to go around and defeat the enemy. If only we invoke her. When I first started playing chess, my big mistake was I never liked to use the queen because I didn't want to lose her. So I just left her in back and I hid her behind the other pieces. But every good chess player knows you get that queen out, you get her to work, and you can destroy the enemy. Folks, there are Goliaths in all of our lives. There are enemies in all of our lives. Some of them are very personal to us. Some of them are whatever. There are Goliaths in our society. There are Goliaths everywhere. And we pull out our sword. We pull out this beautiful instrument of love and peace and prayer that has been handed on to us through centuries and down the centuries. And it's been such an important part of our Catholic tradition. It's not just a nice pious thing that grannies do. It's something that men do, that women do, we should all be doing, is getting on our knees, just like this guy in our gospel who gets on his knees and falls at his feet, the feet of Jesus, in prayer. And folks, that's the best thing. The best thing we could ever do and is to follow that example and to think about every day when I pray my rosary, I pray my rosary every day. And I've recently decided that I should do it on my knees every day. It's not enough just to sit comfortably. And so I pray my rosary every day, but I always think, what are the Goliaths in my life that need to be slayed? Maybe they're in my mind, maybe they're in my heart, whatever they are. And I invoke Blessed Mother. And I put her to work. And she loves to be at work. She rejoices in that mobility. And so I guess I'm here to tell you that if you're not praying the rosary at least once a week, you need to. Especially it's good for families to pray the rosary. Now some people say, I just don't know how. Well, there is a thing called the internet where you can learn. But But next week and the week after, I'm going to have little pamphlets that will help you to pray the rosary. I do rosary checks all the time at the school because I want to teach the kids how important it is to keep this weapon in our belt. It can't be one of those things that goes by the wayside, folks. We can't go years and years without praying it. We shouldn't go weeks and weeks. We shouldn't go a day without praying this beautiful, beautiful, powerful, powerful instrument of prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.